All right, so we're beginning at the top of Bin Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa, it's three lines down. Bay Rav Yami, Ona, Ein Lahem, Bito Mekach, Yesh Lahem, O Ein Lahem. So the question revolves around what our Mishnah says, which is, the statement in the Mishnah is, Eil Dvarim Shein Lahem Ona. Right, and we have a list of items that do not have Ona. The question is, what is the meaning of Ona? Is Ona have a broader meaning, meaning any form of overcharging? Beyond what we call a shtut, beyond a sixth, any amount above that, even though there's a bitul melkach, we force the transaction to be annulled, nevertheless, it's still qualified or is considered ona. Or, do we say that ona ends at one-sixth? At one-sixth, that's the cap of the amount that you can have ona for. And then beyond that one-sixth, that's a mekach ta'ut, but it's no longer called ona. What's the difference? The difference in these items, for instance, like karka. Karka, is there only, when we say ain ona the karka ot, does that mean that only up to a sixth there's no application of ona, but beyond a sixth there will be application, there will be mekach ta'ut, there'll be bitul mekach, or when we say ain ona the karka ot means that they're mufka from the parsha, that doesn't matter, no matter what price you charge, right, then it won't matter and it won't, there won't be any ona, won't be any bitul mekach. So that was the question that was posed by Rabbi Yami. So Amar Rav Nachman, Hadara Amar Rav Chasa, right, to Rav Nachman here, which is important that Rav Nachman is one who quotes it. Amar Rav Chasa Poshid Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami concluded, Ona Ein Lahem, Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. That even though they do not have Ona, they do have Bitul Mekach. Right, so this presents a major Machloket HaRishonim. The Machloket HaRishonim revolves around what is the conclusion of this Gemara over here. Now beyond what the Rishonim here discuss, the question that in the Mishnah itself, when we say Ein Ona the Karkaot, what does it mean that there is no Ona the Karkaot? Does that mean that when we say Ein Ona the Karkaot, nothing? I mean that you're totally free? The Sefer Chinuch proposes something to that effect. He's really Mechadesh something, that there is no Ona by Karka because you own it forever. It's something that lasts forever, owns forever, so it's like a Mechila. No matter how much you pay for it, or how, you know, little you pay for it, whatever the differential is here, people are mochel because karka lasts for a long time, and they can't assign a value to that duration. And since you can't assign a value to that, that's mechila. It's a big chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch. Right, it's really harder to say, right, it's harder to say from the side of the koneh, he gets a big discount. It's easier to say if he overpays for the karka, much easier to say that. The Minchas Chinuch, on the other hand, leans towards saying that it's a gzeret hakatuf, that there is no ona by karkaot. There's no, it's not a logical argument, it's just a gzeret hakatuv. There are other rishonim, especially like the Ramban, who we've discussed numerous times, the Ramban who believes that ona, for instance, when it's less than a sixth, even though it's lo nitan la isha bon, you don't have to return it, there's mechila, there's still a violation of the itzer of ona. Even when you don't have to give it back, there's still a violation. The Ramban makes the same statement when we say in ona la karkaot. In ola karko means that you just don't have to give back the money. You're still in violation of the Easter of lotonu. So you still violate lotonu even though you don't have to return the money. Right, so that's in the bigger picture about whether there's an Easter at all that remains. There's a possibility that there is an Easter, or possibly there's no Easter. Now even if you say, right, there is no Easter, then you have to deal with Argumara. Argumara says, okay, there's no ona, but there is bitul mekach. So what does it mean, there is bitul mekach? So that's the riff. Starts with the issue, obviously it preceded him in the Gaonim, but the Rif brings down two possible opinions about what Bitul Mekach means over here. The Rif says that one possibility of Bitul Mekach means literally, you take the Gemara, like if we read it, Poshut Shan the Gemara, is that up to a sixth, the Onaz Mashayach, beyond the sixth by Karka, there is Bitul Mekach. That would be the simplest way to read the Gemara, but most of the Rishonim do not read the Gemara in that way. And the Rabbeinu Tam is the champion of this opinion, but it really starts back in the Rabbeinu Hananel, based on a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that as long, Ubavad Shalo Yiflog, as long as it's not, the word Yiflog there would mean to be exaggerated, it's not too much. The word, the Yerushalmi quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which we're going to see in a second. Rabbi Yochanan is also this opinion about Bitul Mekach, but he says that, Ubavad Shalo Yiflog, as long as it's not extreme. Rabbeinu Chananel reads iflog to mean palga, half, 50%. And so Rabbeinu Chananel suggests, and Rabbeinu Tam picks up on the sheet that here, the Rabbeinu Tam in our Tosfos over here, that karka has no ona until half, which means either two times, if you pay double the price, or 50%, meaning either direction, depending which party you are. There's no, that there is, up to that point, there's no ona, no bitul mekach. Bitul mekach only starts from beyond two times the amount or below 50%, based on this Rabbeinu Hananu. The Mukha Yosef here on the Rif brings down the last possibility, which is that Tosus questions over here this issue, which is that Rav Nachman himself seems to indicate that there is no Bitul Mekach. And yet over here, Rav Nachman is quoting in the name of Rav Chassa that the conclusion is there is Bitul Mekach. Tosus's reconciliation, the Rabbeinu Tam's reconciliation of that is that there is Onah, but it's different. There is Bitul Mekach, but Bitul Mekach is only after two times. So that's how he reconciles between Rav Nachman himself and Rav Nachman in the name of Rav Chassa. The Mukha Yosef suggests another possibility or another suggestion, that is that Rav Nachman himself disagrees with what he quotes in the name of Rav Chassa, and there would be no Bitul Mekach whatsoever by Karka. None at all. That there is, according to Rav Nachman, it would be a Bacher, it was a Dayan. There would be no Bitul Mekach whatsoever. So you end up with three opinions, based on what our Gemara concludes here, about whether there is Bitul Mekach to Karka Ot. One possibility is that the simple reading of our Gemara, up to a sixth, there's no relevance of Onah. Beyond a sixth, there is Bitul Mekach. The other opinion, which is, there is no Bitul Mekach, there's no Onah until you get to, until you get to two times, or 50% of the value. Then, beyond that point, there is Bitul Mekach. And the last possibility is that we don't hold like this Gemara, we hold like Rav Nachman in the other Gemara, and that Rav Nachman suggests that there is no Bitul Mekach whatsoever, and that Karka is not subject to, neither is subject to Onah, nor is it subject to Bitul Mekach. Alright, so now based on that, the Gemara has now an independent statement, but this is where Rabbi Yochanan is brought in, and the same Rabbi Yochanan was found in the Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ahak Deshot, Rabbi Yirmi Amar, Arkarkaot. Vitarvayu Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. They're both quoting the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That what? Amru, Ona Ein Lahem Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. This statement that there is no Ona and there is Bitul Mekach is an application to Hekdesh or to Karka, because our Mishnah enumerates a number of items that don't have Onah. Now, if you look at Karka, maybe you could squeeze in Avadim, because they're similar in that way, which the Tarot have a different reason, and then Hekdesh for sure has a totally different reason why there is no Onah by versus by Karka Ot. So now, the opinions here are, one, when we say there is no Onah, but there is Bitul Mekach, does that have application by Hekdesh, or does that have application by Karka? Now, Manda, Mara Hekdeshot, Koshkena Karka Ot. One who holds that by Hekdeshot there is Bitul Mekach, then certainly he would believe by Karka there is also Bitul Mekach. But the other way around, Mandamar Karkaot, the one who says by Karka there is Bitul Mekach, by Hekdeshot, lo. By Hekdesh there is none. Why? Kiddushmuel. This is the Shmuel that we've mentioned a number of times. Shmuel we also saw in Kiddushin together, that Amar Shmuel, Hekdesh Shoveh Maneh, Shechalo Shoveh Pruta Mechulal. Basically, there is no such thing as a mistake by Hekdesh. Since a small amount of money is considered a chilul, even if it's right misguided or it's totally off base, nevertheless, since it qualifies and since it works as chilul, since you're able to redeem the money in such a fashion, that is not classified as Bitul Mekach ever. You can't have Bitul Mekach if you can be poder 100 with 1. I mean, that by definition is going to be way beyond right the pale of what we considered Bitul Mekach, and it still works by Hekdesh. So that means by Karka there will be Bitul Mekach, by Hekdesh we knew such thing as a mistake. Alright, it's not Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there. There's Mishnahs in Tumura. Mishnah is actually a Mishnah discussing that a person is being matpis, two animals. And we discussed this a little bit on Erev Shabbos, that he's taking a korban that is ra'oi to one of his be'ach, and then he says, zu tachat zu, zu Tumura zu. And he's exchanging the animals. What's the din? The din is Hu Tumurato Yeh Kodesh. Right? They both become Kodesh. What happens in the case Im Hayah Kodesh? It was a regular korban, but then it got a boom, balmum. It was a korban that then had a balmum in it. Yatzal Chulin, Vetzarich Lasot Lo Damim. The Mishnah suggests that it works because by a case of a balmum, by balmum you can't really say Zu Tumurat Zu because that doesn't really work because he's really not Shayach the Mizbeach. It's not Shayach the Mizbeach. What do you do with a korban that was Nikdash that has a mum in it? A korban that has a mum in it, you redeem it. So when he says, or when he uses the lashon of zu mechulal zu, it's mitchalel, he's actually trying to exchange or move the value from this animal that's a balmum onto a new korban, a new animal. So, but what happens? He did it in a manner where the animal that he transferred onto is worth less than the animal he's transferring from. I mean, the korban balmum has more value embedded in it, and now he's transferring it to an animal with less value. So he basically cheated Hekdesh.
He was doing it because it became a Baal Mum, or he was trying to do Tumah anyway?
Right, that's not clear what he was... Yeah, it's not clear what he's trying to do. But because, in this case, you can't be Mechalelet, it works, because it's not Tumah anymore. It's not Tumah, it works as being a redemption instead of an exchange. And because of that redemption, you move the value. Now, the secondary animal is worth less. So now he owes money to Hekdesh. The fact that he owes money to Hekdesh, that's what the Mishnah says over here, that he has to make up that differential that he cheated Hekdesh. He has to make up the differential in the money. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yatzadu chulin dvar Torah. As far as mina Torah, everything's done. The game over. When he put it onto this new animal, the Kedusha left the first animal, and it's now placed onto the second animal. That need to make up that the deficit in value is only a din derabanan. That they said, don't cheat Hekdesh, make up the value. The other Rish Lakish Amar, af tzarech lasot damim min haTorah. Rish Lakish says, no, min haTorah, this deficit, you have to make up because there's a demand. Now, the way Rashi explains this is that there's a demand, at least min haTorah, for erkecha, right? Erkecha, we'll see this in a second, erkecha means shovyo, of its real value. The word erkecha is used by all the dinei hektesh when you're exchanging or redeeming them. It says erkecha. Erkecha means its value. And Rashi or Leir Yesh Lakish is learning erkecha means shavyo, its true value. And there'll be an obligation on you to ensure that the true value of the item is given to hektesh. So now, b'mayis iskinan, what's the case here? Ilim ebegdeo na'ah. And we're talking within a sixth, which is the din of na'ah. B'ha'alem erash lakish tarech lasod ledamim dvar Torah. How could Rish Lakish ever have an opinion that you have to make up the differential of Dvar Torah, Vatznan, our Mishnah, Eil Dvarim, Shein Le'mona, HaKarkot, Avadim, Shterot, Vekdeshot? Alright, so that cannot be the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about making up the differential in less than a sixth, because less than a sixth, it's not even relevant to talk about Ona, because we don't have that by Vekdeshot. Ela Bitul Mekach, must be in excess of a sixth. Again, leaving out, we'll use a sixth as the threshold, leaving out the opinions of right, the other opinions, possibly where it might be at higher levels or double, or that might be only by karkaot, which we'll see in a second. The Rabbeinu Tam limits this two times to a karkaot and only applies it to Hekdesh, still has the threshold of a sixth. So let's use a sixth as the threshold over here. So above a sixth, where it would be bintu mekach. So now, baha, lemer Rabbi Yochanan zerich lasodo damim b'divrehem. There, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that you only have to make up the differential mid rabbanan. Didn't we just quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that there's Bitul Mekach beyond the sixth? V'amar Rabbi Yonah, I have Teshot, Rabbi Yamar Karkot, V'tarvayu Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei, Ona ein lahem, Bitul Mekach yesh lahem. There is no Ona, but there is Bitul Mekach. And that's Rabbi Yochanan himself saying there is Bitul Mekach above the sixth. So how could Rabbi Yochanan come over here and say that you only have to make up the differential, Midivrehem, Midirabanan? That's a requirement, Dinto, right? It's a total requirement to have to be Vatel the Mekach. If you have to be Vatel the Mekach, then you have to make up the differential. Now the question will only be according to Rabbi Yonah. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, there's no problem because he says it's Al-Karkaot and not Hekdeshot. So he's perfect. He actually fits very nicely according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan above, his opinion is that Bitul Mekach applies only to Karkaot. And down here it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan believes it's only the Rabbanan that you have to make up the differential above a sixth. So that works nice, right? Very nicely according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. According to Rabbi Yonah, it's a much bigger problem because he says explicitly that Rabbi Yochanan believes by Hekdeshot there is Bitul Mekach. And here it's clear that he's only making it up Midivrehem. If he's making it up Midivrehem, then that can't be that there's Bitul Mekach.
Isn't Bitul Mekach generally an optional thing if the cheating party wants to avoid the sale?
Yes, it's very interesting.
And here, we'd be saying this is not just a matter of somebody exercising this, the fact that he's got to make it up to Hekdesh. He doesn't want to cheat at Hekdesh.
Right, so it's very interesting. Tosis over here, Tosis asks you a question a little bit along your lines. And he asks, but generally when we have, right, Bitul Mekach means that's the option of the parties. Actually, Shnehem Chozrim. Both parties can back out of the transaction. So that's even if one of the parties, say the buyer, is mochel on the overcharging, even though he's mochel on the overcharging, he's still the me'aneh, the one who caused the onah, can back out of the transaction. He doesn't have to pay the differential. He doesn't have to give that overcharging. Or number two, even if the Me'aneh, right, goes through and says, all right, I want the transaction to stand, and maybe he agrees. The problem is that the Mitaneh could say, whoa, I almost got cheated, because if I didn't found it before Kadesh Yireh, I would have been stuck with it. Right? If I didn't find it before, I had a time to show it to the other person, I would have been stuck with it. So Tosus said, Tosus, if you look in Yatzah L'Chulin, he explains the difference. I explained it the way Rashi explains it over here between Divrehem and Deoraisa. We'll read the Tosus, it's very interesting. Tosus, he says, Yatzah L'Chulin, L'Anda Amar, Tzarich Lo Sot Lo Damim in Divrehem, Yatzah L'Chulin Akol. The one who says you have to make it up, Midrabanan, says that when you do this redemption, the entire animal that you are deeming goes out to Chulin. Aval Midrabanan, Tzarich L'Shalem, L'Hekdesh Onato. But you have to make up the differential Midrabanan, meaning that the exchange works, and it's over. The animal that you redeemed is now totally free and clear, it's Chulin. You just have to make the differential Midrabanan. Well, the Madar Mar Tzarich L'Solo Damim Dvar Torah, D'yesh L'Hekdesh Bitul Mekach, Yatzah L'Chulim K'neged HaMa'ot Shinatan, V'Shar Yitchalel B'Damim Shishalem. So here, the Midaraisa, right, he only redeems up to the value that he's given. I mean, the animal is only partially redeemed over here. It's not fully redeemed, but only partially redeemed. And the differential he makes up is actually to redeem the remainder of the animal. Now, the Kamashmalan, Dormirinan, what's the Kamashmalan here? The Dormirinan, Kevishesh Lakdesh Bitu Mekach, Yvetela Pijon. Here by Hekdesh, what you could have said is it means Bitu Mekach means that we back out of the transaction entirely. And the animal remains hektish, and we just say you didn't succeed at all. But the Torah says we don't say that. V'lo yetzad chulin klal kamo behedjot. Like by hedjot, the mekach batel. By hedjot, when we say mekach batel, like you're saying, Shoal, it means really mekach batel. There is no transaction. It's a void transaction. If it's a voided transaction, then how can you suggest over here that you just have to make up the differential to hektish? Making up the differential equation indicates that it worked up front, and it's just that the in the back end you have to make up some money. So it's saying no, that's the difference. The difference here between hektesh and bitul mekach means that you are successful until the money point that you've redeemed. Beyond that point, you are not successful. Whereas when it comes to hedjot, when we say bitul mekach, we mean to annul the transaction entirely. There will be no transaction. So then, so it says, why? By Hedjot? By Hedjot it says, Havainu tamo mishum de behedjot hame'aneh chuzer. The one who caused the onah can reverse it. Mishum she'inu rotzeh lachzir onah. He doesn't have to return the onah that he overcharged. Va'afilu ima mit'aneh puchro melachzir. Even if the one who's been cheated says you don't have to give it back. He's still entitled to back out of the transaction. So even though they cheat, the one who's been cheated says you're off the hook, still he can back out of it. The me'aneh does not want to pay the onah, he has the right to back out of it. Because the mitaneh himself could have come to a loss. If he didn't come into that position. Aval, hekdesh, this is a very interesting differential. He says hekdesh is different. A Tosus over here, the Gemara Shas points to a Tosus on Nun Amid Bet, where Tosus actually states this opinion about why Shneim Chuzrim is. Say, Yesh Lamar Hadachacha, Kevin Shu Yoter Mishtut, Havei Rachok Min Amekach Yoter Midai, Uki Ilu Lo Machar Klau. That's the way Tosus states it. It's, the pricing is so far away, it's as if no sale took place. It's as if there was never a sale there at all. That's why Tosus quotes it over there. Right. The Mekach Ta'ut, but it's even more than a Mekach Ta'ut. It's Mekach Ta'ut because Shnehem Chuzrim. Why can both parties back out? If it's a Mekach Ta'ut, then maybe it should only be the one who's Mit'aneh that could back out. The reason that the Me'aneh can also back out of here is because it's as if there was never a transaction here. If there is no transaction, then either party can back out because we really didn't have a transaction. That's what Tosus says. Tosus says that by Chulin, by Hedjot. By Hektesh, Tosus says it's different. You know why? Hektesh always has. It always has a built-in protection, which is very interesting. By hedjot, you have no protection, which is that if you get cheated, then how do you extract the overcharging from this individual once you pass the threshold or the time period where you're allowed to get the reverse transaction? You have no recourse anymore. Hekdesh has automatic recourse. Why does Hekdesh have automatic recourse? What happens if you don't make up the difference? What happens if you don't pay up? You only paid up to 75% of the value. What happens to the other 25% of the animal? It remains Hekdesh. You can't use it. You can't get benefit from this animal. You can't use the animal until you've cleared the other 25%. So Hektish has a way to protect themselves that you will always pay up the differential, because if you don't pay up the differential, you're stuck and you can't use the animal. And that's what Tosfos says here. But he says, by Hektish, the one who was cheated, Hektish, will never lose. Why? Because if the one who cheated, the one who cheated Hekdesh, realizes that it's not Mechalel, he can't use this animal until he adds on the amount that he had, the deficit that he had. And he can't go back on the transaction. Right? Because we know the other way around, if you make a mistake and overpay the Hekdesh, then you don't get it back. So Tosfos says that Bitul Mekach BeHekdesh will actually be different than Bitul Mekach BeHajot. Bitul Mekach BeHajot, the problem is that it's so far-fetched that there is no transaction. If there is no transaction, both parties can reverse, because both parties could have a loss here. The Me'aneh can have a loss because you have to return all the Ona'ah, which he didn't really expect. And the Mitaneh can return it because he says, Kedei Shirela Tagar, if he takes it for too long, he won't be able to get his money back. So since both parties can lose, both parties can reverse it. Over here, it's different by Hektish. Hektish has a built-in protection. Since Hektish has a built-in protection, Hektish will never lose. If Hektish will never lose, that means that we don't allow for reversal of the transaction. That means that you cannot back out. Even the person who was Michalel the animal cannot back out over here. He's locked in, and he must pay up the differential. So it says it works a little. The Bitul Mekach, I think this was the gist of your question. What does it mean? If it's Bitul Mekach, then what's to talk about here? There is a difference between Hekdesh and Chulin and Hejo. Hejo, Bitul Mekach means a null transaction. Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh means make up the differential. You got to fix the problem. And again, if you overpay, Hekdesh keeps it. There's no such thing as a mistake by Hekdesh. All right, now, so to continue the Gemara, how are we going to solve this problem for Rabbi Yonah, who says that Rabbi Yochanan believes there is Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh? And then over here, Rabbi Yochanan's only saying that you have to make it up. Meet Ibrahim. So Gemara says, no problem. We'll flip the position. Ipoch to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Flip the positions of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have no problem. Rabbi Yochanan, one who says Midoraisa. If he says it's Midoraisa all the way through, that's consistent with his opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that there is Bitul Mekach by Hekdeshot. If there's Bitul Mekach by Hekdeshot, you have to make it up Midoraisa. That all fits nicely now if you flip their opinions. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yirmiyah does not have to flip their opinions, right? And we'll see later on that it actually probably makes more sense that he doesn't flip their opinions. Right now, but Mike Miflegate, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlagish independent of who has which opinion? They're arguing in Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Ekdei Shaveh Manesh, Yichlo Shaveh Puda, Michulav. Right, that it works when you underpay Ekdesh. No matter what you give to exchange can be done at any value. Exchange is not about real value, it's about just moving it from one object to another object. Mar Yitlei Deshmuel, Mar Letlei Deshmuel. One of them has Shmuel, one of them does not have Shmuel. Now, what does that mean that you have Shmuel? If you hold of Shmuel, we say that when you do the michulal or your michalel, the amanis, it works. And the animal goes l'chulin. Now, midivraham, midirabanan, we say make up the differential. We don't want you cheating, Hekdesh. We don't want you underpaying Hekdesh. True, it worked to move it to chulin, but we want you to make up the difference. On the other hand, the other opinion believes that we don't hold the Shmuel. If you don't have Shmuel, there was no chilul here. There was no exchange. There was no exchange when you gave this animal, then the animal remains, right, Hekdesh. And Mina Torah, in order to remove the Hekdesh here, you actually have to add on the value. According to what Tosfos was learning before, it means that up to the 75% you clear to chulin, but another 25% that's not chulin now. Because you can't give uneven exchanges. If you can't give uneven exchanges, then you have to make up the difference to get this animal to be chulin. Next, ibay teima, to kuliyama itlu de Shmuel. Everybody holds of Shmuel. When you have an exchange that is below market, nevertheless, it works as a pigeon. To redeem this item, it works. What are they arguing about? Marsav shechilalo in, right, that when you do it, vidyevit, it works. Lechatchilalo. But lechatchila, don't do it. Marsav rafila lechatchila. Is the din of Shmuel lechatchila or not? So one person says, yes, the din of Shmuel is lechatchila. So you can go ahead, even lechatchila, you can exchange Hekdesh at a subpar value because you're doing a pidyon. Again, mid Ibrahim, mid Rabbanan, we say, don't do such a thing, make up the value, don't cheat Hekdesh. The other opinion is not that Shmuel works, but it only works with the Evid. The Chatchila, if you come to us and you ask us what you should be doing, and we say to you, pay the full amount because of Erkecha. Erkecha can mean one of two items. Erkecha can mean its value. Erkecha means its true value, Shovyo. and therefore you're in violation of shavyo, so don't do it. Or erkecha mean any value, right? Erkecha can mean chokahu. Erkecha was mashma, and therefore once the sur is removed with any amount, like Shmuel says. So here the question will revolve around whether it's katchila or it's not katchila.
It's hard to understand the approach of Shmuel, that the idea that, you know, with the Raisa, you could take something that's hekdesh, that's worth a hundred tzuz, and be machalel it for, you know, one, or whatever he said, and, you know, and...
It's priceless.
It's
a symbolic move.
Right, that's the more important part. It's not a transaction.
I understand that. But Lamaisa, you've just taken away something from Hekdesh that was worth money, and...
But you do. First of all, you do it every day, which is that when you take your Maisa Sheni and exchange it onto a coin, you're not exchanging it. You're doing exactly this Shmuel's idea here. Right, exactly. That you're taking and you're mafir, the Hekdesh of Maisa Sheni, over to the coin of Maisa Sheni exactly in this manner. That's one. Number two is, how can you say the Chatchila you can use to invoke Shmuel? B'diavet, it should work. And we have other places where the Gemara states clearly that Shmuel only applies b'diavet. So he says, how can you say the chatchil over here? So Tosfos says that it depends on how you're viewing or how you act in the transaction. He says, Tosfos, the last Tosfos says, v'ish lamar, taki b'reshur shechelo in, shenit kavein l'chelo pachot mitavav, shedaber zeh asur lasot. He says, it doesn't work at all. V'ein tzarech lashlim ela mitarabanan. Doesn't work. Aval l'chatchilo, shasar davar shemutar, shenit kavein l'chelo shaveh b'shaveh. Vita'a, nimzak shehekdei shaveh yoter, yashlim min ha-Torah. So that's it. Umar sevar, afilu l'chatchila lo yashlim elamit rabbanan. Afu pish nitgaven shaveh b'shaveh. So Tosfos changes the case here, right? Tosfos changes the case. What we're thinking about is that he's trying to actually do pidyon, and he's saying this is the value, and he's underselling to hekdesh in the value. Tosfos says if that's the case, you can't cheat hekdesh. It never works. L'chatchila, you can never cheat hekdesh. But the evidence, maybe it works. Chila, you can't do such a thing. Now, but what is it, the chatchila, that they're arguing about? It's what you can do, shaveh b'shaveh. Shaveh b'shaveh is where I really think I'm giving equal items, and then it turns out that I didn't give the item was actually subpar, it was less value than hekdesh. So there, my exchange was not done, we saw this before in the Gemara, that when you assign a value to that which you're exchanging, then there might be problems. But if you never assign a value to the item, and you're really trying to exchange it in a border exchange, where you think it's true value, and then you find out later it's not, they're arguing about whether the Shmuel thing works the chatchila or not. So that would, I think, what I'm saying, really narrows. It's not perfect, but it's here where a person's not doing with intent. Now here we think about chatchila as a person's intentionally trying to cheat. Here it also changes it and says that's not the case. The case is that the person is really intending to do the right thing, and it turns out, in the end, that it wasn't. So Tosfos and the chatchila is really kind of like b'diavad that we look at in other places. That once you've done something, well, how do we look at that which you've done? And I think that really narrows down the chiddush here that you're allowed to do Shmuel al chatchila. Okay, I think that helps a little bit towards your question. Ayibai Damon, this last one question. The question over here is revolving about kedei ona'ah. Now we're rejecting this whole idea that they're only arguing beyond ona'ah by getu mekach. They're actually arguing less than a sixth. Now, if they're arguing about less than a sixth, right, then how could Reish Lakish demand you to pay midoraisa? The Gemara says, don't flip their positions over here. This comes back to a little bit David, your question earlier on. Damar, my ein lahem ona'ah. What does it mean that ein lahem ona'ah? Einan b'torat ona'ah. What does it mean, einan b'torat ona'ah? Da'afilu pachot mekdei ona'ah chuzer. Right? Ein lahem b'torat ona'ah is different. But till now we've learned, what does it mean, ein lahem ona'ah? That means, ein lahem ona'ah, you can cheat them out of it. You can charge whatever price you want. But in them, ona could also be the other way around. Ona also gives you that dispensation where it gives you a window in which there isn't bitul mekach.
There's no threshold.
Right, there is, exactly, there is no threshold. Ona means that there is no minimum.
And therefore
everything is a bitul mekach. Everything's bitul mekach. And that'll go back to, has to be Reish Lakish over here. That's why the Gemara is saying don't flip it, because that has to be the opinion of Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we clearly saw Rabbi Yochanan made a statement about the ona and then bitul mekach. So it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold like Rav Chisda. Right, that either, according to both opinions, Rabbi Yonah or Rabbi Yonah, it's clear he doesn't hold the Rav Chisda's explanation of our Mishnah, because in both, according to both opinions, he says there is Onah. It's just that there is no Onah up to a certain point, and then there's Bitul Mekach. So this has to be the opinion of Reish Lakish. But now the way the Gemara is explaining it is that Reish Lakish believes no Onah means You are chayav day one. For any minimum amount, you got to return it. There's a bitul mekach. Everything is bad. That's what it means. Ain't no ona. Like Rav Chisda. Rav Yochanan says no. Kidei ona. And then bitul mekach beyond that. So that's how we explain their opinions. Mishlagu says, mito araisa yefi mashlim. Why? Because there's no minimum. You violated ona right away with karka and hektesh. You violated it immediately. That's why you got to make it up mito araisa. Rav Yochanan says no. There's up to kidei ona. And then above that, there's bitul mekach. So if you're within the confines of a sixth, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Within the confines of a sixth, but it works. There is no anah. It means that the transaction goes through and you don't have to return anything. That's why he says you only make it up. Midrabanan. So that way to be explained to the Mishnah. That's the last explanation of the Mishnah of the Mishnah over here. Now, in Rav Chisda's.
So according to Yochanan, if it was a sixth,
yeah,
then Tzarekhlas was Lodami.
So when Rabbi Yochanan makes the statement, it means up to a sixth, including a sixth. There is no ona. Okay? It's only above a sixth that there'll be bita mechach, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan says, that's his sheet that comes in, that there's a problem. Alright, good. Now Tosfos qualifies the statement here. And as I reported, the Tosfos over here says, afilu koshu, the top Tosfos, v'dafke hekdeshot. That's only true by hekdesh. Aval karkaot, al palga inu chuzer. Until a half, he's not chuzer. So Tosfos differentiates over here. Rav Chisda's statement is only made about hekdesh, not made about karka. It's a very interesting differential that doesn't go. Tosfos b'shita to again that karka, when we say bikto mekach, is up to two times. You see that here because it says palga. But he says that this whole opinion of Rav Chisda is only applicable by hekdesh because we don't want you cheating hekdesh. We don't want you right. That it makes sense. There's some logic to say that there isn't any ona by hekdesh, meaning that the minimum, as soon as you cheat hekdesh, you're out. You got to pay it up. I mean, to say that by karka, there's really not a sevara to say that that should be the case. So Tosfos does that, he narrows it down to Hekdesh. Okay, and in Meitave, we have a Mishnah that says, Rebit v'ona'a lehejot, v'en rebit v'ona'a lehekdesh. Rebit, there is interest, and it's charged to, there's a violation of charging interest, and charging ona to a hejot, to a lay person, v'en rebit v'ona'a lehekdesh. But that's not true by Hekdesh. It says, what's the question here? They're questioning Rav Chisda's position, that says that there is no such thing as ona'a by Hekdesh, meaning that you have to pay off no matter what. Says Mi'al Milima Mas Nisa. Wait, the term ona'a that's used here is the same ona'a that we used in our Mishnah. So just explain it the same way. Du kimne b'torat ona'a. What do you mean, ain ona'a? We mean, ain ona'a, ain o b'torat ona'a. So say the same thing here. Achanami, ribit, right? V'din ona'a lehejot. Vein ribit, v'din ona'a lehekdesh. Just, when you read ona'a, it doesn't mean, right, literally, ona'a, like we say up to a six, that there is a, that there is no ona'a and you can overcharge. No, ono na means eno din ona. There's no din ona means that even any minimum you'll have to charge, and this will fit like Rav Chisda. When it says, yochi, then what are you going to do with the rest of this, Braisa? I know, tani seifa, ze chomer behejot mi behekdesh. This is the chumra that hejot owes a behekdesh, a ribit. Right, so that is talking about ribit. Ribit is the chumra of hekdesh over a hejot over hekdesh, because a hejot will be in violation of an Eastern Torah, he charges interest, hekdesh will not be in that violation. So, Lidnei Nami, why don't you write the opposite form? Zeh chomer behekdesh mehejot. This is a chumra behekdesh over a layperson. What? Alona. Because over here, hekdesh has a chumra that any minimum amount that you overcharge, you got to repay. There's a problem. Whereas by hejot, you at least have a window of a sixth. So here is a chumra behekdesh. How come that's missing from the brisa? So Mar says, Afi Ashko, how can you compare the two? Fishlama zeh chomer behejot mi behekdesh. Vitulo, that when you talk about that a hedjot has a chumra over hekdesh, those are unique instances. Generally, hekdesh has all the chumrot, and the hedjot does not have the chumrot. So when you talk about ribit being a chumra of hedjot, that's unusual. That a lay person has a stricter law than that of hekdesh. El hekdesh zeh chomer, vitulo, meaning that the other way around, when you say hekdesh is more chamor than hedjot, this is not the only thing that hekdesh is more chamor. And we could have an extensive list of hekdesh. Now Tosfos over here says you really shouldn't be goreis too low because there are other instances where hejot is more chamur than a hekdesh. There are other instances. But he says this is a chidush over here. The chidush that ribit, or this type of act, where we don't have an explicit pasuk, which indicates that there is ribit for hejot and not for hekdesh, is pretty unique, and therefore we only mention this case. Not that it's the exclusive case, because we're going to see later on in Gemara, we've learned this before, shomer chinam, he got shor, ish et shor ve'eyu, all these types of dinim where chekdesh is excluded and hekdesh does have a din of nizikin. So Mar says, ribit to hekdesh hechidami. How does hekdesh ever get interest. How does a hekdesh ever charge interest? There's a basic principle in hekdesh. Eino sim skora, it's given mishnayot in shkalim. It's actually machlokes hatanaim, whether hekdesh is allowed to make money. Is hekdesh allowed to actually profit? And there, that's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara there is asking about motar halishka, leftover lishka. You're allowed to use that money to buy things and then sell them at higher prices and make money for hekdesh. The general principle that we have is ein aniyut b'makom hashirut. There's no poverty in a place where there is wealth. Meaning that in a makom of grandeur and royalty and kodesh, people aren't doing transacting. Business is not the way. Right? They're not out to make a profit. So generally we assume that hekdesh isn't in a business. They're not business transactions. So if that's the case, how does hekdesh ever have a situation where they're lending out to people and making interest? I mean, it's as if hekdesh is out there buying bonds and they're getting paid interest on it. They're investing their money. Hekdesh doesn't invest. So what's the case? Ilema the osve gizbar mea b'meavesrim. So what happened? The gizbar, the treasurer, went out, lent out 100 and says you got to pay back 120. All right. Valo mal gizbar. Wait a minute. That's not what hekdesh's money is used for. And when the gizbar does that, he's misappropriating. Ma'ot hekdesh. If he misappropriates hekdesh, that's called mi'ilah. When you have mi'ilah, what happens? It's yotzei l'chulin. Goes out to chulin. If it's out to chulin, then it's the gizbar himself, the treasurer, who's charging the interest. And that's asur. Then it's a lay person charging interest. It's the gizbar himself who's making the money. So that can't be the case. The case here is that hekdesh hired a supplier for their solet, and their supplier was charging them at four to a sella, which is, you know, four tzaron a sella, whatever the proper measurement is for a sella, v'amdu mishalosh. And then it started to be that they got more expensive, and the market price went to three for a sella. So now hekdesh is actually benefiting because they're still buying, purchasing at a four rate, four to the seller, and now the amount is shalosh to the seller is now three to a seller. Ketani, we have a price. I'm a kabel alav sepek, right? Silkot mi arba. Person who is agreed to supply hekdesh at four to a seller, vamdu mi shalosh, and then the market price changed and is actually now running at three to a seller. In that instance. Right, he has to misapik ba'arba. He has to supply at four. He's locked in at the four level, and he's got to pay the lower level. Now that would be fine, but the only problem is mishalosh. What happens if he locks in at three? He says, "I'm going to go to three, but I'm doing arba." And then the price went down and got cheaper. Misapik ba'arba. Right, he has to then give it at the lower price. So yadek desh al yona. Yadek desh always benefits. They always get the benefit. Basically, what happens here is that hekdesh has a call option. Yeah. They have a call option to buy it at four. They have a call option to buy it at four. And if the price, right, or wherever they buy it at, I mean, if they bought it at three, they have a call option to buy it at three. That means if the price goes up, they're locked in at that price. If the price goes down, then they can just not exercise their call and they can buy it at market price from you. So that's basically what Ekdesh has here. Ekdesh has this ability to, right, always get the better price. So that's what it means there's no Mi'ilah by Ekdesh. So even though by Hejot this would not be permitted, because when there is no market price, right, ribit, right, it's agar natar, is that you're not allowed to borrow from somebody an item today, and then pay them back later when the market price is determined. So he's buying, according to Rashi, he's buying before the market price comes out. So before the market price comes out, then when you borrow, and then you pay back later, the market price has changed, that's like ribit. Because you're paying back an item or produce that's worth more than what you borrowed. The monetary level of those items, and it looks like you were borrowing money and paying back with interest. Ekdesh doesn't have that problem, even though you preempt. Right, even though you're preempting the shahr before the market price comes out, that's not considered a problem. Now, Tosfos over here discusses the issue, and he says, how could it be that before there's any shahr? It can't be that who's going to supply to hekdesh. Hekdesh gives money to the supplier. When they give money to the supplier, how does hekdesh work? How does hekdesh lock in their position? They give money to the supplier, and then the supplier's object becomes hekdesh, becomes kadosh. If they're doing it before there's a market in the items, that means that there's nothing on which, right, the supplier's object is going to, or there's no object on which the hekdesh can be chal. So Tosa says it has to be after, it's called a pre-market. Tosa says it has to be after there's a pre-market, but before there's a real market in the item. Because it has to be that the supplier has some sort of supply. It has to be that he has a supply, that just that the full market price hasn't been determined yet. The market's not open yet, or there's another month till the market opens. So there has to be an object in which the Kedusha is chal. It has to be before there's a market price determined. That's what he just explains here. We're talking about stones that are used by Hekdesh for building in the building, the Shmuel, because like Shmuel, we build in Chol. When it comes to transactions that the, when Hekdesh hires Kablanim, when they hire contractors to work on the items, they don't purchase the stones, for instance. If they purchase the stones, what's going to happen? They're Hekdesh right now. So what's the possibility if the Kablan's working on them and he somehow chops off more than he's supposed to, or he sits on the stone now, he's Nehemi Hekdesh, he's Moab. So in order to prevent Hekdesh, what they used to do, they used to say, listen, spot us the stones. Hekdesh would say, spot us the stones, and we will pay you for the finished product. If we pay you for the finished product, then the Hekdesh only is chal on the stone afterwards. It's only chal on the stone and the end product. So that's what the case could be here. The case could be is that Hekdesh, the Gizbar, has stones here that he's giving out to other people. He's handing them out to the contractors to pay back. So he says to the contractors, listen, I'll give you a stone, you better return us back 10% more worth of value in this stone. So over there, since it's still chulin, right there, it's not transacting in Hekdesh itself. But nevertheless, it's for the benefit of Hekdesh, because Hekdesh already kind of owns the stones, because it's done for Hekdesh. But nevertheless, right, it's still considered, right, chulin enough that you can transact, that the Gizbar can act on behalf of Hekdesh to the benefit of Hekdesh. And there won't be a problem of interest. Tosfos has something very interesting here, which is, if you, for instance, lend money, say, Gdal, you decide to lend Shaul 100 shekel. You go, listen, don't pay me back, pay 120 shekel back to Hekdesh. Can you do such a thing? Can you go ahead and say to Shaul, pay 100 shekel, I'll lend you 100 shekel, but when you pay it back to Hekdesh, you have to pay 120 back to Hekdesh. Tosfos says you're not allowed to do that. That is called rebit, right? And that is not called rebit that Hekdesh is doing the transaction. So you cannot exchange people, you cannot force people to pay more money, like people say, oh, you know what, I'll lend you 100, give 120 back to Tzedakah. You can't do that. That is not, there's no money laundering, I mean, there's no whitewashing of the fact that you're charging this person interest, even though they're giving it to Tzedakah or they're giving it to Hekdesh. That is still considered charging interest, and you're not allowed to do that. It's very interesting, Tosfos goes out. Alright, now we have a quick Gemara. So Gemara that just goes through and says that our Mishnah says that Abraham, Karkaot, and Shtarot, and Hekdesh, and Abadim don't have Kefel. Arba b'chamisha doesn't have Shomer Chinam, is not Nishba, and Shomer Sechar doesn't pay. So where do we know this from? So Gemara is going to have the limud for each of them. They're all klal uprat uklal. So Gemara says, Eimbeim tashlumei Kefel, menani mila. Where do you know this from? The Tanar Abanan, by this is the Pasuk, by either Tuein Tanat, Ganab, or Ganab. Alkol Dabar Pesha klal. Al Shor Chamar, Al Seh, Al Salma, Prat. Alkol Aveda, Asher Yumar, Chazar b'klal. Klal uprat uklal. Iata dan elokeina prat. What's the prat? Ma prat mefurash davar mitotel. It's a movable item. It's not real property. Gufo mamon. It has inherent value. Apko davar mitotel. Gufo mamon. It's a karkoot shina mitotelim. Karkoot excluded because they're not movable property. It's uavadim shukshule karkoot. Avenim are hukash. Right, because it says in Chalta Otam Levnechem Achorechem that you can pass on an Evi Kinani to your children like Yerusha, like property. Save a din like Karka. Yetzu Shtarot, Shavish Metaltalin, and Kufan Mamon. Shtarot are not, don't have no inherent value. Their value is all about what's written in them, right? What the Shtar Raya, what they speak about. It's not about the inherent value in the Shtar. Ekdeshot, Amar Kra, Re'ehu, Re'ehu, below Ekdesh. So that's how we exclude all these items from Kefil. ולא תשלומי דה וחמישה, my time, תשלומי דה וחמישה, רחמנה ולא תשלומי שלושה וארבעה. It says pay it 4 or 5 times, not 3 or 4 times. The Gemara's assumption everywhere, and here you see it again, is that when you pay 4 or 5 times for shechting a shor set after you were going a bit, that 4 or 5 times is actually made up of 2 parts. It's made up of kefel, plus an additional either 2 or 3. That additional, right, 2 or 3 that you're paying, or the 3, it's really 3 or 4 that you're paying to make up the difference in the kefel, is actually an extension of kefel. And that means that if there is no kefel, there can't be any arba chamisha. Because once you're missing the kefel, you're only playing 3 or 4 times. And the Torah says 4 or 5 times, not 3 or 4 times. Alright, shomer chinam menu nishba. What is a shomer chinam? Not take a shuwa, menani mili, down okra. Ki tenish el reyu klau. Kesef okelein prat. Right, either of a gunei beit ish, or there's another girsa which says mishmor, which I think is the girsa we see in other places. Mishmor, chazar u klau, right? Klau u prat u chal yata dan el keina prat. Ma'aprat mifurash davar hametzaltel v'gufo mamon. It's a movable item, and its inherent value in it. Avkal davar mitzaltel v'gufo mamon. Yitzuk kakol she'en mitzaltelim. You don't move them. Yitzu avadim shukshu lekakol. Again, avadim that have a hegish shakarka. Yitzu shtarot she'apish mitzaltelim in gufan mamon. And the shtarot are left out because even though they're not carried in gufan mamon, they don't have any inherent value. They showed him akra reu reu below shalat desh. Right now, Tosfos points out over here that when we say that shomichinam is not nishba, does that mean he's not nishba but he does pay? Meaning that shomichinam has two options: either he takes a shva or he pays. So the Gemara says he's excluded from nishba over here. Maybe he should have to pay. Tosfos says no. When we say that he's mufka here, it means he's mufka from the parsha. There is no parsha of shomichinam by hekdesh. That means you don't pay and you don't take a shva. You're totally mufka, because we'll see in a second that a shomer sechar is excluded from the parsha, and a shomer sechar, even if it's a pulsheya, doesn't pay when it's with hekdesh. So if that's the case, then certainly a Shomer Chinam who has to pay in this case of Neva Vega is not going to have to pay. Because Shomer Chinam is Patur, certainly a Shomer Chinam. So he says when we say Mufka here, we mean Mufka from the Parsha entirely. So now, what is this? No se Sechari no Mishalem? And I am Milad, you know, this is from the Tanaban Akita and Yishal Reo Klau. Chamor Oshor Ose Prat, Vachol Beim Alishmor, Chazal Klau. Klau Pratu Klau Yata Daniel Kena Prat, Ma Prat Mufresh Dovar Meteltel. Vukufo Mamon, again, the Prat. The pratim here are movable items that have no inherent value, but that have inherent value. Avko davar mitatel b'gufol mamon, also movable items that have inherent value. The two karkaot shina mitatelim, their real property is not movable. The two avadim shukshu the karkaot, the avadim are excluded because they are like karka. Yitzu shirarot av b'shem mitatelim in gufan mamon, even they are movable, they don't have inherent value. Ekdesho shemakra reyu reyu lo shalekdesh. So we have the same term for klal upratu klal that applies to gneva by kefel. Arba and Chamisha are excluded because once you don't have Kefil, you don't have Arba and Chamisha. And you have the same Klal Pratu Klal by Shomer Chinam, and the same Klal Pratu Klal by Shomer Sachar. Tosu says all of these Klal Pratu Klals here are smachtot. Why? Because the Gemara learns it from different places. We go back to Baba Kama, if you remember. The Gemara and Baba Kama learns it actually from a different way. It says by Shomer Chinam, it says, the Gemara over there learns that, Perk Mubba, the Shinem Yal Chamor, Shor Veset. It moves different each word. Shor, Sor, Shor, Chamor, and Set. One of them excludes Avadim, one of them excludes Karkaot, one of them excludes Shtarot. Right, it's a totally different limud. And Gemara and Shvuot also has a limud from the Kelim, and the Kesef and Kelim. They say that it has to be a minimum of Shtei Kelim and Shtei Kesef. Gemara learns all sorts of other limudim from these. So how can you use them from Klal Prat to Klal? So Tosa says that all of these limudim here are just the smachtot ba'alma, and that the real limudim come from somewhere else, or these psukim are loose for other limudim. But because this is not the main sugya of these Gemaras, one in Baba Kama, the other one is in Shavuot, in those areas where the main sugi is, they have the real limudim or the big limudim. These are just the smachto to indicate that they don't apply in these cases as a sidebar to our Gemara about Onah. Okay, we'll stop over here.